maintenance, but of course was quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. I think $10 or $15, which was at that time tremendous, you know. And we got that piano, but we were unaware of the fact that in it lived a mouse family.
Oh.
So that was a kind of a disagreeable interlude, because we had to put traps, and ever so often at night, you know, when we were lying there and sleeping, all of a sudden you would hear that click, and then you would know that you were in the room with a dead mouse, which wasn't pleasant. So at that time, Eric had acquired a few students. One of them was the sister of Carl Krieger. He was conductor of the Kansas Symphony at that time. And he had come to Vienna and been shown the Passacaglia, and had promised to bring it in America. And then Eric contacted in America, and he sent his sister to Eric. Another student was a young man, a Dane, who appeared one day at Eric's and said that he had been commissioned to make a film, and but he couldn't do it, and if Eric would do it for him. And Eric did that. It was the film... And So They Live. It showed the life of the farmers in Kentucky.
Oh, I see.
And that became quite a, somebody, a man by O'Flaherty or somebody was the director who had very good name, you know, in intellectual film circles. And he did that, and it was a very good film, you know. And Eric never saw the film. He had only the book, the text, to go by, you know, and did that for him. And a friend of Eric's, Karl Bamberger, who is a conductor in New York, did conducted the score then. And
well, this period of adjustment is absolutely fascinating. I'm curious to know whether you were ever able to contact the Zeisel who actually had contributed to getting you here.
Oh, yes. We were hardly off the boat when we bought the little presents, you know, whatever we could afford at that time, and went to see him at the address we had. And we were also wondering why he had never again answered.
After
being so kind and sending this. And we wanted to tell him that he was... though he hadn't answered, was instrumental in saving our lives. And so we came there, and then we understood, because this was such a miserable shop that there wasn't one whole pipe in this whole shop there, you know. And the man was evidently a very poor man and had, on the spur of the moment, spent this dollar, which must have been... something for him in his circumstances, and that was it. By doing it so promptly and doing it immediately when he thought of it, really at that time saved our lives. And so we thanked him and we told him and brought him our little presents. He was very pleased, but afterwards we did not have any contact with him. You know, he didn't even know about music or something that didn't make any impression on him that Eric was a composer. He would have done it for anybody whose letter he had received.
I see.
He was a really good man.
Well, maybe at this point... we should talk a little bit about this Job. We've talked about the staged version of the Joseph Roth novel, and we've talked about the incidental music Eric composed for the staged drama in Paris. Obviously, this was the libretto he'd looked for all his life, and maybe we should give a little summary of the story. It's not quite the biblical Job. This was to occupy Eric for the rest of his life.
Yes. The story is the story of a poor school teacher in pre-war Russian Poland. And he has four children, two sons who are strong and healthy, and a beautiful young daughter who, however, loves the Cossacks too much. And then he has a little crippled child that isn't able to talk. No.